Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. It's Loveline. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician. Oh, yes, an addiction medicine specialist. Drew's show's on tonight.
Yeah.
Big show premiering on Discovery Health.
I just made Adam watch it.
I watched 45 seconds of it. I laughed. I cried. I belched. I passed a win.
You crapped yourself. That's great.
It was awesome. No, the set looked good. You look good. You know, the camera loves you, Drew.
Thank you, Adam.
The mic hates you. But the camera really is a fan. The mic's like,
Well, why are you complaining about me being quiet all the time then?
See
how it works?
Yeah, Drew's show is, when is it on?
It's on tonight. It's on Wednesdays at midnight. It was on tonight, just finished. I need to feel the love of the Loveline listeners. So please just, when we finish up tonight, tune on Discovery Health Channel and go ahead and write a little email to discoveryhealth.com.
Ooh.
Any positive feedback will be greatly appreciated.
Nothing negative, though.
Whatever.
Nothing negative. Well, Drew will read that stuff and it hurts his feelings.
It freaks me out. Yeah, it does freak me out.
Yeah. No, I saw Drew do a couple of man on the streets. He conducted himself like a pro. And if you're interested in information, sexuality, aren't we all?
Oh, yeah.
And a little lighthearted comedy, that's the show to watch. Yeah, it looked good.
Discovery Health Channel, midnight.
All right, let's see. Wants to know more about spinal cord stimulators,
Drew. This is something that came off the show, I think.
Oh, really? David?
Yes, right here. Drew.
Yeah.
The spinal cord stimulator, is that just for a female or is it males too?
What do you do with that thing? What is
something
that?
You saw on the show tonight?
Yes, I did.
Drew has no spine, so it's kind of tough for him to comment on it. So his wife took it many, many years ago. I believe she still has it intact.
No.
I saw a kid skipping rope with it just a few months back.
Well, we showed a piece about a anesthesiologist that putting in spinal stimulators to help women have orgasm. And these things have to be implanted into the spine, into the spinal column.
Was it originally designed for that?
No, it was a side effect of spinal stimulators for chronic pain.
Uh-huh.
And they found on the table one day, they were sort of turning the stimulator on to help with the pain as women started having orgasms. So they went, huh.
Awesome.
And this
sounds like a Cinemax movie.
I know, it's crazy. And you should see the footage of it.
If really?
You're interested, watch tonight.
Well, is it... It's implanted, and there's nothing that protrudes from the skin?
Eventually, there's a trial run where something's hanging out of you, uh-huh. And then they implant it permanently.
Because they don't want to commit to completely implanting it?
It's a serious procedure, and it's not really been approved for this work yet. David, you have trouble having orgasm?
Not really. I just get to push a button and have one after that.
Oh, dude. It's about that easy for a man anyway, right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to push the button, but you have to take the joystick and move it up and down about 8 or 9 times, and you will achieve an orgasm.
This is the whole push and pull thing again. But the fact is that it's for women, and it's not yet been approved for this. That particular anesthesiologist I was interviewing wants to start doing it all over the world. He goes, I want to put in centers in Las Vegas and Amsterdam. And
shocking.
I was like, oh, my God. I thought, I brought in a neurosurgeon who was sort of a fan.
Do no harm. Yeah. And is it powered by a battery?
Basically, yeah.
Does the battery have to be changed?
I'm sure. I didn't ask that question, but I'm sure it does.
You didn't ask that question? It's like, what kind of crappy show are you doing?
It's the same as like a pacemaker, you know.
These are, right.
Or the spinal stimulator they would use for chronic pain. They have to be, you know, recharged once a month.
Well, how does it work with a pacemaker? I mean, it must have some sort of space-age lithium NiCad or whatever battery.
It depends on, you know, how often it discharges and, you know, is this just for defibrillation or is it for actual chronic pacing? And I think they last about 5 years.
So one that's for chronic pacing.
Yeah.
I mean, meaning constantly adjusting the rhythm of the heart?
I think it goes about 3 to 5 years,
and
if I remember.
Do you have to open the person's chest to charge it?
No, you have to pull the pacemaker out there and you have to exchange it, I believe.
Well, but that's not opening them up?
It's just in the soft tissue. It's not like you're opening and cracking their chest. It's just a little pocket on the chest wall.
Is the pacemaker, how close to the pacemaker or to the heart is the pacemaker?
It's outside the chest, in the muscle of the chest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's two wires go down usually into the subclavian vein here. It goes under the subclavian, into the vein, into the heart, and then it's just screwed into the heart muscle, and then the little pacer sits out here in a pocket.
It seems like they could even charge it one day, not too far in the distant future, like through the skin.
That's why I'm equivocating. That may be available right now. I know a lot of my elderly patients are getting them changed right here and there.
All right. Let's talk to Elliot.
Hey, what's up?
16?
Yeah.
What's up?
So the other day, I'll start this before. The other, like about 3 months ago, I have a little brother. He's 10 years old, and he, I was looking for him, and I walk into his bathroom, and he has like his underwear, his whitey tighties, like bunched up in his butt, and he's like looking at himself in the mirror. Yeah. And so, you know, I just kind of dismissed that and was like, okay, whatever. He's just being a weird 10-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. And then my mom, like the past couple of months, she's been complaining about, she's like been losing her underwear. And it's like, it's not just like regular cotton underwear. It's like lacy, like really nice underwear.
Hold on a second.
Feels bogus.
But it's interesting. Interesting twist. Yeah. Mom has been complaining, though, to her children that she's losing her underpants.
That's what feels sort of bogus.
And not the cotton ones.
Yes. Only my lacy G-string.
Sweetie, you know the thong back ones? Yeah. Daddy used to like to pull it aside when he was, you know, doing the fudge dance. Yeah. I'm missing. Have you seen that? Oh, by the way.
You've done your
homework?
Yeah. And he could do a rim job with that. Oh, anyway. So, yeah. Come on.
Elliot, who's your mom complaining to that she's losing her underwear?
Well, she actually wasn't complaining to me. She was complaining to my older sister, and my older sister's about 25. So,
Oh, this Elliot is good.
Does your older sister
got a snappy answer to every question?
Does your older sister live at home?
Yeah,
she does.
Yeah,
what's she doing at home?
What's up?
Why is she at home?
Yeah,
she's 25.
Oh, well, she just goes to college in Denver where I live. So she goes to Regis University. So. It's just like a drive away, so it's like she doesn't have any reason to live anywhere else.
Okay, Elliot, hold on a second.
Hold on. Regis Philbin has his own university.
He's so affirmative with everything. It always feels bogus still. It's crazy, but it does.
I know. It's like...
It's like he feels relieved when he comes up with something snappy.
No, but he's almost too good.
Right, right.
It's like pulling a guy out of line in security because his... slacks are pressed and his hair is parted and he looks so much not like a guy who would do something.
Right.
He may do something.
He's been good, so we'll keep going down the path. So what's the question?
The question is, I mean, obviously this isn't normal behavior, but and I didn't finish my story. Is that?
Oh, please, go right ahead.
The end of the story is that my mom, it was actually 2 days ago, she... went into his room and caught him with a pair of a bra and a pair of panties looking at himself in the mirror. And
wearing them.
Huh?
He was
wearing them.
What's his cup size? B, C?
And when your mom discussed this with you?
No. Definitely not.
How did you find out about it?
My older sister.
So she's the one that gets the earful on this.
Get that broad out of the house. She's just sort of the conduit that all the crap flows through.
Well, 10 is a little bit old for that stuff to be going on. If you were like 4 or 6, there's a little more of that thing.
Yeah.
And the thing is that he's always been a little bit
Mason
off.
Joe.
I mean, it's kind of weird. And I've always had the feeling that he might be gay. But the thing is that if he's not gay, I'm afraid this is even worse.
Worse than gay? How dare you? How dare you act like being gay is some sort of affliction or something?
Well,
I have many gay... Actually, I don't know any gays. But the point is I would definitely hang with them. Oh, there's Engineers Michelle. Though she's just one of the guys. She's a lesbo. Yeah. See, here's the thing. You got to get a black friend. You got to get a gay friend. You got to get a lesbian friend. You got to get a Mexican friend.
If you're going to be a radio host?
If you're going to do anything, so you can always point to them.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, you say, me and Javier just went out last night and had, you know. Do you know what I'm saying?
Whatever. I'm listening.
No, my point is you got to have one of everyone as a friend, so when people accuse you of being a racist or something, you say, tell it to my lesbian friend.
Okay. Anyway, this call still feels very bogus to me.
Yes,
I have a very vague idea of what the question was.
Yes. Elliot?
Yeah.
What was the question again?
The question is this solid proof that he's gay, or is it
irrefutable?
Okay, now it's bogus.
Yeah, this is bogus, Elliot.
No, well done.
It's not bogus, I swear to God.
Well, here's the deal. Elliot, one thing. If it is bogus at the end, by Geneva Convention, you're obliged to out yourself.
No,
but
we'll go with it
because you've done such a great job.
Yeah.
And the fact is that cross-dressing does not have anything to do with sexual orientation, really.
Yeah.
It can be a fetish. It can be a sign of, you know, problems in sexual functioning and in you know, interpersonal conduct.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a sign of, you know, a little chaos in the home, too. Where's Dad?
My dad actually died.
Yeah, so he's had some trauma recently, and that really could sort of make a kid.
He was really little, though. He died when I was 12, so that's like, what, 4 years ago?
No, he was six. I mean, that's a huge deal for a six-year-old.
How did your dad die?
How did he die? He had a heart attack.
Yeah?
Awful lot of the...
He was a young man to have a heart attack.
No, my dad was 56 when he died, so...
That's young, but that's typical heart attack age. Was he a smoker?
No, but he had... He had, like, back problems, and so he couldn't get out of bed. So he was actually, like, he was probably bedridden for, like, the last 2 years of his life.
Wow.
And, I mean, like, he had some pretty serious issues.
All right, well, all that sounds like a horrible stuff to live around.
Yeah.
Your brother was dealing with that.
Yeah.
So there were some heavy feelings flying around the house, and for a six-year-old, they soak that stuff up.
Yeah.
And now that he's sort of... You know, moving towards puberty and things, some weird stuff is likely to happen. And this is more about that. This is not about sexual orientation.
All right, so what do you do with your brother?
I would just think of it as a sign that you said the kid he behaves funny, sort of thinks he's odd. And this is a kid that might need evaluation by a mental health or child psychiatrist, something like that.
Yeah.
Just to head off trouble in the future. This doesn't mean something specific to me, but it means it's the kid that's struggling.
Kids show their hand pretty early in basically the kind of people they are.
Well, I remember you came, my kids, when they were turned like 8 or 7 or something, it was their first grade birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
You came to that birthday party and you went, oh yeah, every one of these, I got them. Remember?
Yeah.
You know, every kid is who they were, 6 or something. You went, oh yeah,
not just your kids.
Right, all the other kids at the party. You said, I can tell who each of these kids are going to be now.
Well, think about now that you're a little bit more seasoned, think about the guys you knew in the 5th grade.
Yeah.
Are they much different now?
Well, you know what's funny? Some are. Like a couple, totally different. For the most part, the same.
Yeah.
The really interesting thing is the ones that are totally different, I would have predicted to be more the same, like the rest of the JOs.
Yeah.
But they're not. So I don't know what that is. But yes, for the most part, people are the same.
All right. So what? Intervene?
Help.
Be his brother. Be his friend.
Talk to his pediatrician about a mental health professional.
Emma.
Yes.
You're 25?
I am.
What's up?
Well, I have inverted nipples,
mm-hmm.
and they're weird looking, and they gross me out,
mm-hmm.
but more than that, like, I have very little sensitivity around my whole boobs, so I was wondering...
You're a big gal?
I am.
What are you coming in at?
I don't know, like 220?
220,
and
yeah.
True, that's not overweight, and how tall are you?
I'm 5'11".
5'11".
You're just a
lot of woman.
I'm just a big girl.
But there's a lot of breast tissue too, right?
Not especially. I have pretty small boobs.
Oh, hold on. That is a bad...
Appreciate her honesty.
Yeah, but the fat chick with the small boobs is like the car that is horrible performance, but gets horrible gas mileage as well. It's like, what's in it for me? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's bad on bad.
All right, we can lose a little weight here, A. B,
Emma? Yeah.
The inverted nipple and I don't think the decreased sensitivity and the inversion are necessarily related. There are surgeries to help try to release the nipple inversion.
I could get them out.
And guys, for the most part, are not freaked out about this.
I'll box your ears.
Well, like,
that's
the
how
thing
I get them out.
Is, it's kind of like when a turkey's done on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I get excited, the girls pop out. But the rest
how it is
of the
with
time,
my penis, too. Yeah, rest time.
It's turtle head.
The rest of the time, they're laying low. You know?
Yeah. Well, isn't that how you want it?
Good times.
Well, I guess, but it's just kind of...
They can get, having an aversion as you get older can cause irritation and problems like that. So,
like breastfeeding or something. Like, guys, have you had any complaints from guys?
No.
Because I'll tell you, I got to be honest with you. It, guys, the bigger beef is with the big ass than it is with the inverted nipples.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And that's something you can take care of, right? I mean, you know, a little bit.
The big ass?
Yeah, right. You can, you know, get...
What's going on? Are you on a diet?
I'm not getting any complaints in the butt department.
I know, but look, hold on a second. Hold on. Let me explain something. Yeah, I know what you're going to write, Drew.
Okay.
All right, here's my point. There are, first off, 220 pounds for a woman is probably technically morbidly obese. It probably falls into that.
She's almost 6 feet tall, though.
Yeah, but that's 220 and 5'11 on the radio.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
That means 5'9 and 7'8.
240.
236. Yeah. So the point is, you know, look, if you're 5'11 and you're 175 pounds, that's overweight for a woman. 220 plus is in big. The morbidly, like, obese range.
Yeah, big.
Now, and by the way, it's not that hard to get into the morbidly obese range, is it?
Well, you're supposed to be 100 pounds overweight to be morbidly obese.
Oh, really?
But by your radio math, she's hit in there.
I'll put her in there.
Yeah.
I'll just do the science over the radio. But so here's the thing. No, you don't have any complaints from guys because guys are so goddamn horny. It's like you don't hear any raccoons complaining about the dumpster. They're just in it. You know what I mean?
They're loving it.
Now, don't get them wrong. The raccoons would love to happen upon a nice deli platter, but whatever's in the dumpster is going to do.
Yeah. So the bottom line is don't base your self-esteem on how men relate to you?
No, because we talk to a lot of women that are very much overweight, and their answer is, I got no problem in the dudes department. I go out Friday night, they get juiced up, and they try to F me. You cannot base it on guys wanting to have sex with you.
And I would be more concerned about your overall health. That this is, you know, this Ooh. Is, you know, it's worth losing weight, get some exercise going just to maintain health.
All right, Emma. How about
there
that?
There you go.
Okay. All right. And as far as the inverted nipples, don't worry about it.
Yeah. And the sensitivity.
Well, will it cause any problems, like, when I do have kids?
I don't know of any. And I don't, and by the way, then you're in a whole different sort of hormonal and structural circumstance.
Right.
They may kind of come out anyway.
And what about like the women who pump?
That's a lot. Most women do that.
Most women pump?
Yeah. You can't be available all the time. It's the middle of the night or something. She wants, wait till you have a kid.
Who's pumping?
Wait till you have a kid.
I'm not pumping. No way.
No, you're not pumping, but you're serving up what's pumped.
Really?
Yeah, so she can sleep.
Yeah, I get the kid going on the formula.
I know.
But the point is if you pump, is your nipple going to come out?
Yes.
It will?
Yeah.
So vacuum pressure will get it out?
Mm-hmm.
So she could just use a nice shop vac and get those nipples right out?
Mm-hmm.
I bet she could.
Yeah. Well, or a guy will oblige that, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And but they'll pop right back again, though.
Wife had seizures 2 days ago, and an orgasm caused one. What's more harmful? Warts. Fiance has warts. How to continue having sex? I don't want to talk about warts. Let's talk to
Sean.
Let's talk to Sean. Sean?
Yes.
You're 26?
Yes.
Your wife had seizures?
She had a seizure 2 days ago in a grocery store, and she's concerned that if she has an orgasm, it might trigger another one.
Has she had a workup for the seizure yet?
We saw a regular doctor, and we were trying to get an appointment to see the neurologist.
So her faking another orgasm with Sean, you think that might cause it?
Yeah, even that. The excitement, the shame and guilt and conflicted feelings.
Did she hit her head or anything? Did she collapse?
Yeah.
Of course.
She gave herself a concussion. They had to staple a wound shut.
All right, I wouldn't do anything stimulating. She shouldn't be driving cars. She shouldn't be excitable. Just keep things very cool and easy for a
while.
What
brings on a seizure?
It depends what the source is, what the cause is. But there's definitely... High levels of stimulation could potentially trigger something.
Should you wear like a hockey helmet?
No, but she shouldn't.
Why
be driving,
not?
She shouldn't be driving a car. And she
but she had
be,
a concussion at the market.
And she shouldn't be climbing a ladder, and she shouldn't be walking on the roof of the house.
No chick has ever climbed a ladder, Drew.
Right,
that's
right.
The beauty
well,
of it.
Well said.
But my wife's never actually been off the ground, except for when she was wearing plats.
Plats?
Platforms.
I say plats.
Back in the 70s.
Yeah, she shouldn't
you know?
Wear plats.
Yeah.
But I don't think that, I mean, it's not that big a deal, Sean, but the important thing is to get this workup done and keep her kind of low and, you know. I mean, you could argue that if she's highly aroused and just doesn't have sex, it could be kind of problematic for her, too.
What does she think, what do the doctors think, Sean?
They don't know.
Well, the doctor told her that it shouldn't be a problem, but she's still concerned about it.
I know, but what do they think the cause of the seizures are? I mean, are they worried?
They're not sure. We saw one neurologist in the ER,
Yeah.
And he gave her the okay to walk out.
Did he give a CAT scan?
Yeah, they did a CAT scan.
All right. So at least there's not a structural problem that they saw. Then yes, this kind of seizure is less likely to recur, and you probably can go ahead and not worry about it.
All right.
But again, just take it easy. Take it easy.
Let's talk to Beth. I'll talk to a chick. Beth?
Hello?
What's up?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm really nervous. I'm a big fan of you guys.
Thanks.
You're welcome. I have had kind of a bad, the last few 8 months. I had a stillborn in November, and I was born with a genetic condition. It's a mouthful. It's called multiple epiphyseal dysplasia. And basically, all my joints aren't formed right.
Right.
So my hips are jagged instead of oval. And
you get dislocations of your hip, and that causes arthritis in the hip.
Right. So
it's like what dogs have.
Yeah, it's hip dysplasia.
Exactly.
It is.
And then the
arthritis is just destruction of the acetabulum, and the ball and socket joint just kind of breaks down. Why did you have hip replacements?
Well, I haven't. That's why I was calling. I can have my hips replaced at any time, but because of my age, I'm 28, and hip replacements only last 5 to 10 years total, and you can only have two apparently in your lifetime. So I've had a lot of pain.
Wait a minute. Haven't they sort of coached you that, you know, they're going to 10 to 15 years now, and maybe by the time you have your second one, we'll have other ways of doing this? You know what I mean?
The doctor that I saw recently was very, he really didn't go that route. He
wants you to wait. All right.
Yeah, he just laid it all out on the table, and I was born with this, so I've been told,
Hold on. The whole hip replacement thing hurts my teeth.
I know.
You know, when I picture those, like, cold chisels, they got to get out. I mean,
it's carpentry.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, these guys are making boats in your ass.
Yeah. It's not delicate microsurgery.
No, that's the whole thing. Like, you know, when I see the guy with the guy from Germany with the funky frames, and he's feeding the stent up the thing with the arthroscopic and the microscopic and the laser,
this
whatever. This is a day laborer getting a cold chisel out and busting bones.
This is the guy with the mallet.
Oh.
Seriously. Yeah.
Oh, my teeth hurt.
Yeah. Anyway, you know what, Beth, so let's get it down. What's the question, real quick?
And how's the stillborn thing work?
Traumatizer is what she's telling us, I think.
I know, but how do you, don't they know now?
Sometimes it happens just before delivering.
So the baby dies just days or moments or whatever, and that brings on?
Well,
if the baby dies.
By stillborn, she means it died in utero and they just took it out.
Oh, is that what she means?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean, Beth?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
How far along were you?
Well, I had to induce me at 23 weeks because my fluid started to leak, so it was a different situation.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Beth, I'll tell you something I believe and something I've learned.
Okay.
Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Everything.
So the dysplasia and the hip replacement, the stillborn, all for a reason. Now, I don't claim to know why, but there's a plan. Believe me, there's a plan.
I agree. Thank you, Adam.
It all happens for
me. To distill it down, what is your question?
My question is, because we're trying to delay surgery, pain.
Yes.
I've been put on narcotics, heavy-duty morphine,
fantastic.
Whatever. I'm worried. I know they're all addicting.
Yes.
But I'm wondering if you have any suggestions of something that might help me a little more. The pain, the morphine really isn't doing a whole lot.
All right, let me ask you this. Do you have alcoholism or alcoholism in your family?
I do, yes.
Do you think you're an alcoholic?
I don't. No, I haven't.
You don't strike me as that. I got to tell you.
Yeah.
And so you being on opiates is not that big a deal. You're going to get dependent. You're going to have withdrawal, but you're probably not going to trigger an addiction.
Okay.
So maybe it's what you need to do. I'm sure they've discussed with you things like Neurontin. Have you ever taken Neurontin?
No, I have not.
Okay. Well, Neurontin.
How do you spell that? I'll put you on my list. I still want those Quaaludes, by the way, Drew. You know, another birthday's came and went, still no pharmaceutical Quaaludes.
No score. Mm-mm. Let you down. So Neurontin is a medicine, high doses that can help the sort of modulation, regulation of pain.
Mm-hmm.
There are things like Ultram, which and the antidepressant medications sometimes help from the top part of your brain down. Sort of like the things that make you not feel pain when you're in a football game or something, or a plane crash. There's ways to activate.
Well, you're dead when you're in a plane crash.
Right, but I'm saying to activate that system, antidepressants tend to do that. that. I have a medication called Zyprexa.
Horrible sometimes, example of plane
sometimes
crash.
It's helpful. Loxetane is sometimes helpful.
You're talking about you get that endorphin adrenaline rush that doesn't let you know your femur sticking out from the side of your
there's
thigh?
There's a part of your brain called the anterior cingulate that when it's activated.
I don't think I have one of those.
I know you don't.
I'm almost always
you're a
in
robot.
Pain.
You're a robot.
No, but I just mean I know it. Like, you know, those people who go, you know, I was shot 3 times. I didn't know. I just felt was warm.
Yeah.
And then I passed out.
Right.
I would be squealing like a pig, immediately know I was shot. I actually think I would know I was shot before I was shot.
Right. You know, like when the guy aimed the gun at you.
Moments.
You
I would already start squealing. That's right. And then the pain would immediately set in, even if nothing came out of his gun.
But, Beth, you might want to go to a pain management doctor. People who have not, this is not for chronic pain. This is actually easier to manage. But we'll go ahead and write down Neurontin, Loxetane, Zyprexa, and other antidepressants. That's sort of where you can begin. Sometimes there are even other anti-seizure medicines that can be able to Topamax, things right. like that. So it's right. a lot of stuff doctors can choose from.
Fine. She'll, you know, look, everything.
And they have
I believe everything happens for a reason.
Therefore, it must.
Unless it's bad and it happens
if
to me.
If you believe it, oh, then what?
Well, I'm saying, like, if a ferry capsizes in New Delhi and it kills, 900 people,
but
that happens for a reason.
But how about when it still happens to you?
I'm pissed.
But it still happened for a reason.
No, I'm angry.
Oh.
I have to blame somebody.
Oh, who do you blame?
Well, you know, I always start with my family.
Okay, of course. Yes, yes.
And
yes.
then I move on, yes, you yes. know. To what
we... Well, no, you don't.
No, no,
you stay right there.
But I do move on to other family members.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's be fair.
Your family.
All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Brett. Has a small penis, only 4 inches, so he says. And that is erect,
19,
ladies
19.
And gentlemen. We will talk to Brett. Do you remember those two?
Yes. What, 9 years ago. Why do we still talk about them?
Oh, they're
wonder where they are
seared into my psyche, those broads. What, I don't know who they were. They were hot Playboy twins.
But remember, they were the Hanson twins' ex-girlfriends.
Well, yeah.
And they were Charlie Sheen's ex-girlfriend.
Well, I
was it. You were too.
I was with Charlie Sheen, and Charlie Sheen was with everybody.
But all remember that?
Yeah, I know. But I just remember after about half hour yelling at them to leave the studio.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Screaming, yeah.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. The Offspring. Our good rockin' friends, The Offspring, will be in here tomorrow night. Just a quick little disclaimer before we move forward. Drew has a show on Discovery Health. I, too, have a show coming out on the Discovery Galaxy of Stars. It is on TLC. And anyone who calls in the show tonight may be included in that show, or at least your voice. Yes, Drew?
Fair enough.
Fair enough?
My show, you can watch tonight at midnight.
That's
it's
right.
The Rail Channel.
That's
please
right.
watch after we end the show.
Just write, put something kind on the up on the web there.
Yes, yeah? discoveryhealth.com. That'd be wonderful.
Yeah. Come on, buddy. And really, don't say anything bad about Drew because he reads everything, he takes it to heart, and it really crushes him.
Oh, now you're just baiting these. Now there's gonna be an army of stuff. On
sure,
there.
It would be really funny if you wrote something horribly insulting about Drew, and we might read it on the air. But don't do it, kids. Especially
you are a dick.
Especially 14-year-old males listening to the show. I know you're better than
you
that.
You know, I can be honest with you. I don't find that funny.
Drew, what were you saying that about my
I'm
rapist thing?
To remember. Yes, the hack thing. Yeah,
yeah. See, one of the things
rapist.
I'm
rapist.
Drew doesn't find it funny.
No, it's not funny. Rarely I don't find you funny.
But you don't. You
honestly.
Don't get that. You don't get the joke. You get the
I
joke.
Get it.
It's just not funny.
Funny. It doesn't tickle me. No,
doesn't tickle you.
No, that makes you do it 10 times more.
Okay,
I know. But yeah.
Well, here's the joke. Here's the joke. It basically goes. Basically, the genesis of the joke is I grew up watching a lot of TV in the 70s and 80s, and they'd always do that this week on McCloud. In order to catch a jewel thief, McCloud is going to have to become a jewel thief.
Right.
You know, they do that all. They do
right.
A lot of promos doing that.
Yeah.
That. So the joke was the same thing, except we always end with rapist.
The rapist.
So yeah. Will Arnett. Was it Will Arnett?
Yeah. So
it was
the, this week on Hack. In order to catch a counterfeiter, Hack is going to have to become a rapist. You see, and it gets funnier the more you do it because you get into international jewel thievery and forgery and all this, but they always end with rape.
Yeah, no.
Not
no.
funny.
No.
Not funny.
Yeah. Not right. everything's for everybody. You know?
All right, no. Okay.
Just saying.
All right. No, fair enough.
Just saying.
Fair enough. Brett?
Yeah, how's it going?
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I've got a pretty small penis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like 4 inches with erection, and it's pretty thin. And I was wondering if there's any pills that actually do work, or if surgery's like the only way.
There are not pills that work, that's for sure. And as you hit, you still have a couple more years to grow. 21, well, I know. But
you may squeeze out like a millimeter and a half over the next 30 years.
Some guys, that last couple of years is when it really happens.
Really?
Sometimes, yeah. So 20, but men particularly.
Really?
Yeah, it can happen.
Women's penises don't grow as they get older?
Their breasts can grow the last couple of years. So occasionally, I know you're interested in the field work on that.
It looks like being a sausage when it's not erect. I mean, it's
Well, here's the deal, Brett. There are surgeries for this. Basically, the surgery is going in and releasing the suspensory ligament that holds the penis to the pelvic bone, and then they actually give you some weights to wear that pulls the sort of keeps the penis pulled away.
I got them now.
You're wearing them right now.
Yeah. I got to tell you, pretty close to mishap last summer when I went into the pool.
Oh, I got pushed in.
Well, I was having a party, and I got by the person.
And you're wearing
the
weights.
Weights on. Went right to Davy Jones' locker.
Adam
Carolla. It's a hell of a way to hit Davy Jones' locker. I don't know how many sailors, how many pirates have hit Davy Jones' locker because they're wearing a barbell attached to their penis.
Deep six, they call it. Yeah. All right, so listen.
In your case, like deep four.
Here's what I'm saying. If you're under a certain amount, shouldn't your insurance pay for it?
I don't believe so.
Why not?
I talked to the urologist. He said no. It's about $11,000 to have both procedures, which is the lengthening, which is cutting the suspensory ligament, and then the thickening procedure, which is where they pull the skin down and basically sew on some cadaver tissue. Basically, it looks like a Pop-Tart around the penis, then pull the skin back up and off you go.
And my scrotoplasty, how much would that run?
I don't know. I haven't checked that. But
because I'm hell-bent on that.
I know.
Because, you know, I'm 40, but my scrotum is that of an 80-year-old.
I know.
It's an old soul, they call it.
I know. You got to do something about that. Imagine what it'll be at 80.
Oh, at 80, well, it'll be 120.
It's like unthinkable.
It is.
You have to have special tailored clothes and things.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I'll be wearing the jumpsuit with a built-in belt.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to that part of life where I just put the jumpsuit and the slippers on and leave the house.
What's different? Now you put on pajamas and slippers. What's the difference?
All right. Brett?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're done with you. There's nothing you can do. You got to find a woman who loves you for you.
And many women, there are a lot of women that don't care about small. Now,
that's not true.
No, that is true.
No, it is.
I'm not saying every woman. I'm saying there are a lot of women.
And you better get good at oral sex.
That's right.
Yeah.
So basically, I'm screwed forever.
Well, no, it's not what we said at all.
Brett,
you're so negative. You're depressed, for one thing. You got to get that taken care of. What we said is there is a surgery to correct this.
You know what? Don't tell them the same thing we already told them, because the million people that are listening got to hear the same crap that Stonerhead didn't take in the first time around. Brett, let me tell you what's going to ruin you with women, your horrible attitude, not your small disappointment. But the first disappointment is your crappy bummer attitude. So quit smoking some pot. Get out of junior college, get a job, and fight to keep it.
Yeah.
Right,
and may need a hormonal workup, too, to make sure there's not something endocrinologically going on here as well.
But look, here's the deal with the small penis. By the time the chicks find out you have a small penis, provided you don't call radio shows and yap about it, it's too late.
You're in.
Mm-hmm. And for a lot of them, let me ask you this, Drew.
Mm.
I was going to ask Engineeress Michelle, but she'd never seen a penis.
She may have seen one.
Well, it scared her when she was 9, and that was it.
So she may like the four.
She said, "Fat." The point is that
you're a lesbian.
Most women, and I know, like, to a point, but abnormally large or abnormally small?
Which would they prefer?
Yeah, let's. I'll give
most
you numbers.
Women?
4-inch penis, 8-inch penis, if 6 is the normal. Ooh. Well, that's tough for Drew because he's 9.5.
I think the four would go away from the 4. I think if you said 9 versus 4, most would take the 4.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just one more inch?
Yeah.
But 8 versus 4, no.
Because 8 is not so much ouch. 9 is definitely ouch.
Really? All right. But still, it's a coin toss, sort of, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a judgment call.
I mean, it's not 95% of women would go with the 8-inch penis.
That's right. I agree.
There's 40% of them would end up with the 4-incher.
That's right.
That's the one young Brett's got to find.
Right.
All right. Where are we, Drew?
But he does need to talk to a doctor about it.
He does?
Yes.
Why? I wasn't listening to that part.
Because it could be an endocrine problem, too. There are developmental issues that can also cause this. It might be treatable.
I just thank God for guys like Brett that are, you know, steering the curve down. You know
towards
what I'm saying?
Towards you, yeah.
Yeah. Joanne, toward me. How dare you? Joanne?
Hello?
You're 15?
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, hey, you have a 19-year-old boyfriend?
Yeah.
That seems bad.
Ooh.
Why?
15 and 19.
Why?
Yeah, that's old. What's up with him? We don't trust him.
Why not? He's so sweet.
Are you having sex with him?
Yeah.
He's a criminal.
He was really sweet.
He's a criminal.
Yeah.
What's your question?
Well, every time me and him have intercourse, his penis goes limp while he's inside of me.
Good.
How long into things does that happen?
There is a God.
About 5 to 10 minutes.
Is that because he has ejaculated?
No, he doesn't come or anything. I think it might be because he smokes an extremely large amount of pot.
Oh, oh man.
There you go.
You got to hang on to this winner with both hands,
yeah,
Joanne.
Sweet.
Don't ever let
he's
him go.
Awesome. A criminal, marijuana addict.
Yeah.
And can't perform sex.
The only thing that makes statutory rape hotter is when the guy's actually holding a bong.
Yes.
That is sweet. Yeah. Where's your dad? I'd like to kick him in the nuts.
My dad's actually in the living room.
Smoking pot.
Really? And he knows you go out with a 19-year-old?
Yeah. It's his coworker's son.
Oh. Is your dad an alcoholic or a marijuana addict?
Well, he smokes a little pot every now and then.
Yeah, I'm sure it's every once in a while.
And what's he do? Something that involves a forklift? Mechanic. All right.
Yeah.
Works around metal. All right. So, you got a 19-year-old boyfriend. He goes limp. What are you using for protection?
Condoms. I'm on birth control.
Oh. You're using both?
Tested and everything. So.
You're doing both condoms and birth control?
Yes.
Outstanding. But the condom might be affecting him, too, a little bit. Maybe try different brands.
Oh, really?
Different. Yeah, some guys, they kind of lose
the go limp thing can mean a couple things.
Can mean anxiety.
Drew, do you have to punch the mic with every point?
I've been going out for a while now.
All right, well, what about you're over-lubricating?
No, actually, we have to whip out the KY every once in a while nowadays.
Yeah.
For some reason,
nowadays.
I don't...
Nowadays, 15.
Yeah,
nowadays.
Now, when she was younger... 8, 9, she didn't need the KY. But as you get older, Drew, the vaginal dryness sets in.
Yeah.
You know, 14, 15,
menopause.
You got to bust out the KY. Yeah, you're getting close to menopause.
Yeah, this is bogus. What's up, guys?
Wow, is this a dude?
Yeah.
Well done.
Wow.
Well done.
Yeah, I called. My name was Sabrina.
Wow. Oh, this is...
You've done this before.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well done.
Yeah,
awesome.
You are a pro.
You're good. You're good. That will translate into no money and no poontang.
But we're
gay. Still well done.
You're gay.
How old are you? How old are you?
I'm 14.
14.
Yeah.
Do the chick voice again.
Like this?
Well, that's
no, it was better. You just,
that's the helium voice. Give us the Latina chick from East LA.
East LA? I can't do a thing like that.
No, that's pretty good.
There you go. Yeah. They're back.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's solid.
Yeah.
Do you want to answer more questions about your vagina?
Want to talk Chief Thunderbear?
It might be funny. All right. How's your menstruation? Is it normal?
Well, actually, due to the birth control, it's I really don't get my period because
Oh, really?
You're on the shot.
I see. You're on the depot shot.
Yeah.
Okay. And normal breast development?
Oh, actually, yes.
What are you? B cup, C cup?
I'm actually a D.
Oh, D.
Yeah, I'm a 32D.
You're a little young, but I'll tell you, when you turn 18, I like to get a pass at you. This chick sounds hot, Drew.
He's good.
Mary Kate Ashley on me.
Where did he hone this craft? I want to know.
I'll tell you where you hone this craft. Your nuts don't drop.
What?
That's where you hone your craft.
Oh, that's not right.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Now he sounds like the brawny man. No, you don't. You haven't popped a pube yet. That's why you can pull off a chick.
Yeah, but he has the whole demeanor going. It's really well done.
Yeah, you're good.
No, I just listen to you guys a lot.
All right, you're excellent. Now, what's your name so we can remember you next time? What's that?
What'd you say?
What is your male name?
Arturo.
Oh, and you're a true artist, Arturo.
Yes, thank you.
All right, my brother.
Hey, oh,
well,
yeah,
well done. Well done. You're a worthy adversary.
What, Arturo? Your question.
Adam, I heard you're going to do some kind of racing with the cars and the driving.
Yeah.
Something like that. What is that? What's that all
about? I'm doing something called Test Drive on the Speed Vision or Speed Channel.
Oh.
It's coming up. I don't know. Maybe it came, maybe it went or something like that. Maybe that's what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. I think it is.
All right. Yeah.
Good times.
Can I say hi to my friends? Can I say hi to my friends?
Yes, yeah. He earned it.
Yeah, he did. He did. He
go was, ahead. Go ahead. Go to town.
Go ahead.
Hi, Brandy. Hi, Julie. It's Tanya. I love you guys, Julie. I'm sorry. Bye.
Okay. What'd you do to her?
What?
What'd you do to Julie?
Oh, well,
They had a lesbian affair.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't let her finish either. Listen, I don't know what the future holds for young Arturo.
I'm guessing it's
a dark one. No. I'm seeing dark, struggling artists kind of thing. But the kid is quick, and he thinks well on his feet.
Yes.
And I like that. He's actually better than most of the guests on this show.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. You ready to rock here, Drew?
No, it's time for a break.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, time really flies when you're talking to he-she's. Mandy, who's 17's boyfriend, demands oral sex right after they have sex. I like the cut of this kid's jib.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. She wants to know what the fascination is?
Yeah.
Really?
How does he work? What's happening?
Oh, well, we'll get a NASA scientist in here to explain why guys enjoy oral. Yes? True. Really, shoot.
But I can't, I honestly.
Shoot on over to Caltech over here and see if you can pick somebody up.
I would like an explanation about that, too.
You would?
It's putting the cart ahead of the horse.
See, Drew, you are a man of such supreme passion that you do not enjoy oral sex.
Not, it's like, why would you have...
Yeah, on a long drive, but not once you get to the hotel.
Right.
Yeah, see? Not me.
I know, and that's will be a good discussion.
Okay.
You can give that point of view.
I think I may have just done that.
Oh, okay.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. The Offspring tomorrow night, everybody. You know, my favorite part of doing a reality-based TV show is, Drew? The cameraman, they have to follow you around everywhere.
Yes, we were just peeing, and there he was in the bathroom with us.
Yeah, which forced me to wash my hands,
yes,
which I normally don't even do after number two.
No, yeah, I noticed you didn't pass gas either. That's normally something you do in there. You didn't shiver like you normally do.
I did pass gas. You just couldn't hear it.
Oh, okay. Well, again.
I did a little cheek spread thing.
I'm just saying. You know.
The point is...
They call it reality TV, Adam, for God's sake.
Now, the funny thing about when you do a reality show is there's a cameraman and there's a sound man and then there's five other people running around with clipboards who are talking into headsets and things like that. And whenever the camera swings around and might find them in the camera's lens, they all do a shoulder roll like it's the opening of SWAT and just dive behind sofas and go sprinting around. I love to see white people scurry. You don't see it that often. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just don't see middle-aged white guys scuttling and scurrying.
Diving.
Especially women, too. Just shoulder roll and then right behind the love seat. Yeah, so every time the camera swings around, you see people hit the dirt like some maniac has broken into McDonald's with an automatic weapon.
Next time you got to walk over there, just kneel down and just start talking to them. Just chat with them.
Just bring the camera over there.
You just walk over. The camera will come. All you got to do is walk over there and talk.
All right.
Just have a little conversation with him.
All right.
Okay. Adam.
Corolla.
Yeah. It's going to replace Marco Polo, everyone.
Lesbian. Here we go.
Anderson.
Anderson doesn't like when Michelle
speaks.
He
doesn't like Michelle. I just think he doesn't like Michelle. I don't think it's so much her speaking he has a problem with. I just don't think he likes her. But that's all right.
Chris, man.
You know why Anderson doesn't like you? Because I love you.
He's jealous.
That's why. Yes, because you're a pro, baby.
She's
a total
she's not
pro.
Chris, and she's a rat fink. And
rat fink.
All right. Oh, Anderson's been drinking again.
Again?
Green tea.
Just tell me when Anderson's not drinking. That's when I need to know. Otherwise, I'll just assume he's drunk. Yeah, green tea with bourbon. Yes. Mandy?
Yeah, this is Mandy.
You're 17?
Yes.
This is a teenage dude. See, I'm all freaked out now.
It's good.
What's
I'm
up, Mandy?
I'm not Arturo.
Okay, so what happens, Mandy?
Oh, your boyfriend who demands oral sex.
Well, not necessarily, I mean, oral sex. I just want to know what your guys' spin on this is, because I really don't know what's going on. We'll have sex, and then, like, as soon as we get done having sex, and after his penis starts to go limp, he wants me to, like, suck it, and, like, he can hardly, like, sit still. Like, makes him go into a seizure. He, like, digs it or something. Do you know what's up with that?
What? I'm sure what you're describing.
Feels weird and bogus, too. But maybe my...
I don't know what's up with that. I think he's just a freak. I think I'm going to talk to him about it. I just want to know if there's, like, anything scientifically proven, like, that would feel good or something.
Hold on, I think I've met my tonal doppelganger.
Yes.
This must be what I would sound like if I was a chick.
And smoking. You have to smoke something.
I know, it's funny. It's funny to be like a 17-year-old chick and you're smoking like some film star from the 20s who's on the phone with her agent. Mandy. All right, baby doll. Let's put the butt out when you call the show. That's all. Drew's a doctor.
I will do that the next time.
Yeah. Okay.
Not quite enough of a drone here.
How old is this guy?
He's 17.
And he has an orgasm and then wants you to go at his
quickly deflating penis.
A five-second deal?
Yeah, he just, like, I don't know. He gets some kind of kick out of it. I don't know what it is. I just...
I don't believe this. It's just, we never
Neither
heard
did
it.
I
it doesn't
first.
Sound right.
And also, yeah. I want to know, can you get pregnant from pre-cum?
All right, hold on. We got to...
It's mostly post-cum that gets you pregnant, but yes.
No, pre-cum can, too. But yeah. let's take a break. It's already time again.
Really?
Yeah. Let's regroup. Let's readdress Mandy. I think we're still sort of shaken by the Arturo experience.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's get focused. Let's
All
break
right.
it down.
Let's break it Here down. Go. Let's on. Go. Let's get a hand in. Let's right, go. Everybody. Let's go, gentlemen. And I use that term loosely. Hey, remember, those helmets aren't chairs. Let's go. Let's break it down now. We'll take a quick break. I'll try to get to the bottom of Mandy after this. Hey, y'all. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Tomorrow night, we have the Offspring in here. Great live band, The Offspring. Yes, true. Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, he'll take you up in his jet.
Dexter from The Offspring has himself a jet or two.
Mm-hmm.
We've traded Citation, phone calls said, right? about going up in his jet, but I would love to do that.
Actually, you didn't trade phone calls. You picked up voicemails a month later.
Yeah. We never actually spoke, but he did leave a message, and I called him back 3 months later.
Right.
Yeah, and then I think he called back 2 months after that.
Oh, okay, good.
So I think I owe him one. So we'll talk to him tomorrow night. You know what's cool? Mm. You can, you know, you could buy like a MiG-15. You buy like a Russian MiG.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
For not that much.
Wow.
I mean, think about that stuff. Huh. I mean, think about military aircraft. One year, it's, you know, nothing. Just, it's $500 million. Yeah. And that doesn't include R&D. It's just, you know, $500 million apiece. And then 20 years later, it's out in the desert in Arizona. We stripped it down. We're going to crush it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's crazy, huh?
You could pick up an old MiG for probably $50,000.
How would you learn how to fly it?
I figured it out.
Yeah.
On the job.
Yeah.
On the job.
Fair
as
enough.
Long as it's got an ejector seat, I don't care. You know, that's my thing. As long as I can punch out.
But then you see Top Gun.
Oh, you could hit the canopy.
Ejecting. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. It's a dangerous maneuver.
Scarecrow could hit the canopy or whatever his name
Goose.
Was. Goose. That's right. True. What the hell do you know about Top Gun? That's the only movie I've ever heard you say anything about. Were your kids watching Top Gun?
No, it was way before they were born.
What do you know about Goose and Top Gun?
I just remember watching that movie. I'm just saying.
Very homoerotic movie, by the way.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't pick up on those nuances.
What about when they're playing volleyball and everyone's shirts were off and they're moving in slow motion?
Actually, that part didn't stay with me quite the way it did with you.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
very homoerotic. A lot of guys, like, clenching their jaws and in towels, squaring off. You know, in these... most of these movies are just like these John Woo movies are really just gay porn.
Mm-hmm.
It's a $80 million gay porn film. Stars Tom Cruise and Goose. A lot of guys in a lot of these movies, like macho movies, a lot of guys squaring off in the locker room.
You mean having a fight in the locker room?
It's just getting in each other's grill in the locker room. A lot of macho movies doing that.
Never
happens in real life.
What happens? People goof around in the locker room.
People play grab ass. They do the towel thing. They do the rat's tail thing. They snap the ass. They put the Bengay in the jock. They, you know, while one guy's talking to the other guy holds the cup over the guy's mouth like it's a breathing apparatus.
Yes.
I've been in 1,000 locker rooms all goofing off, but never squared off with
the guy.
Up
and lock him in the locker, throw him in there and slam the door.
That's what they do in every macho movie, especially anything that has to do with high school or something.
Yeah.
There's always some buff guy in a towel who's pushing another guy into a locker.
It never happens.
No, guys fight in parking lots. They fight in bars. A little road rage, but never square off in a locker room.
No,
you see, I think that's the gay man's version
or it's guys
of how straight guys act.
Or it's guys that have, guys who haven't played football.
Guys don't like to square off when they're almost nude.
That and with their teammates.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah,
they're gonna, if they really have issues, they're going to have sorted that out on the field. It's all
like
done.
What the actual percentage of people being pushed up against lockers in movies versus real life?
1,000 to none.
Yeah. You ever push someone against a locker?
No, just goofing around.
Yeah. All right. A lot of macho locker talk. I don't know, guys are all greased up. They come out of the shower. I'm getting horny. Mandy?
Yes?
You're 17?
All right, Mandy's got the guy who has sex with her, and then when he's refractory and becoming flaccid, wants her to do something more.
Okay, maybe I can rephrase my question. Is it possible for a man to still get pleasure after he climaxes? Maybe that's a better way to put it.
Yes, through eating.
Yes, he can.
That's how I receive my greatest pleasure.
Some young males, like 18, 20-year-old males, can climax a second time. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, she means moments after.
I mean, after we just get done having sex, he's like, quick, suck it. Maybe it.
Oh, this guy's all class.
Sir Walter Raleigh.
Wow.
Of Ohio.
I don't know what that is.
Neither do I.
All right, well, Mandy, how about you don't suck it next time?
I was thinking about that.
All right.
You guys have a good night.
I think this is a bogus call. I think that was bogus, Drew.
Maybe. It's been bogus night. It tends to go in series, you know. It's,
I still got that angry chick thing from her.
Yeah, I didn't get bogus. I got just...
Effed up,
yeah.
Dad.
Whatever. Let's get a germ in your floor. Let's get a little more...
Yeah. Guys are nervy these days, by the way.
Yeah, well, they...
16, 17-year-old guys with the suck-it decree after orgasming. What about the little anal sex?
Yeah.
They seem, you know, we can't have intercourse. You don't like me, you're not attracted to me. Yeah, but just a little hummer. These things didn't exist when I was in high school.
Yeah, I think we have fully indoctrinated young males the notion that a young female is just like them.
Right.
Because they treat them the way they would treat a male.
But women
version.
Have bought into it, too.
Of course.
When I was in high school, I didn't think young people had genitalia.
Well, when you were in high school, they didn't.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they didn't.
They're smooth. You know,
Barbie dolls.
Well, you know, like how Marilyn Manson looks, you know, and there's record covers and stuff. It was that kind of thing. It was smoothed over. It was like someone took clay and just moved it over. Like they were, you know, making a concept car on someone's groin. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was then.
All right, I'm just saying. Drew, don't put the sticker over the guy's name. Ian?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Yep.
You want to play Germany or Florida?
Yes.
All right, give us the quote.
All right. A local politician wants to use DNA technology to chase down owners of dogs that leave their droppings on streets and sidewalks. Ooh. A counselor of a local district said Monday he wants the city to register all dogs' DNA so that droppings left behind during walks can be tested and the owner of the guilty dog punished.
Where was the... Now let me see where my brain goes with that.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking Germany all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And just because of the technology and the sort of the mad scientist quality to all this.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, now, wait a minute. This is a very expensive proposition.
Yeah.
Where could they afford that? Palm Beach. Palm Beach.
Technologically, it feels German.
But money sounds like that part of Florida.
Yeah, but if you try to pull that off out here, those ACLU pussies would be all over it.
That could be true. All right,
you know
Germany.
What I mean?
Let's go Germany.
Those pussies from the ACLU don't even want DNA testing for guys that are on death row
right. So
they could get some of these things off the books. Somebody stop these idiots, by the way, before they destroy our country. All right.
Germany.
Ian, you're going Germany?
Yeah, let's go Germany.
Let's go Germany. You want me to go Germany?
You convinced me.
It technologically feels German.
But the expense feels part of Florida. And it's kind of weird. You know, parts of people who live in that part of Florida are kind of extravagant that way.
Mm-hmm. I think people in Germany clean up after their dogs.
So they wouldn't have a problem. Very fastidious.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you think?
Back to Florida.
All right, I'm going Germany.
All right.
Ian?
Yeah?
Is it Germany or Florida?
It was Germany.
Oh. Yeah! Hell yeah! Yes!
Oh.
That's what you call...
Painful.
Vindet effencation. You know what I'm saying? Because I've been playing Germany a lot.
Yeah.
And what it is...
screwed at that, too.
Oh, let me tell you something. You know, you live by the Prussian helmet, you die by the Prussian helmet. I have been, I've gotten burned more than once over the last few weeks by sticking with Germany, but like a compulsive gambler. playing a number on a roulette wheel.
Eventually
I stayed
comes
with
in.
It and eventually came in.
Now, mind you, lost $8,000 in the meantime, but
that's right. Ian?
Yeah.
God love you, brother.
Well done.
Also, I want to say that me and my friends played Adam Carolla the day after it was created.
Oh, in the swimming pool.
Yes.
Well done, Ian.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Thank you, Ian.
No problem.
God bless you and your friends. All right. What grade are you in? The eighth grade?
I have 2 days of eighth grade left.
2 days.
On to ninth grade.
On to ninth. You going to high school?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Are you in Washington, D.C. or Washington State?
Huh?
Washington, D.C. or Washington State?
Washington State.
All right. And you're going to a public school?
Yeah.
All right. All right, buddy. Good luck. You going to try out for any teams or anything?
Yeah, cross-country wrestling and track.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. What, isn't cross-country and track not the same thing, huh?
No, they're not.
No.
All right. What the hell do you need a cross-country team for when you're in high school?
I'm just saying.
I mean, the guys in the cross-country team were the weird dudes. They're super skinny guys with weird facial hair. And then all they would do is take them up to the mountain and tell them to run around for 2 days. And then come back. Did not translate into an ounce of poontang, by the way. There's no...
And everyone knows that's the only reason to do high school sports.
Well, running is something you do. Like, cross-country running is like for when your car breaks down in the desert. It doesn't really get you anywhere.
How about cross-country skiing? Is that something you could relate to?
If you're, like, Nordic and, you know, was like one of those things that was passed down to you or something.
Doesn't float your boat.
It takes
all kinds,
Adam. I couldn't call it a sport.
Takes all kinds.
Here's what I'm saying, Drew. When you're 15, you should take up golf or tennis or something. Take up a sport. Yeah, skill sport.
All right.
You can always run.
All right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And do you really need to run cross-country when you're 15? All right. I don't know. And also, these high schools with the 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th, you know, when I went to high school, it was just 10th, 11th, and 12th, and still the 10th graders were getting their ass kicked. Now the 9th graders show up.
Yeah.
Look out.
Yeah.
Scrub City.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, imagine one. Oh, and they're going to get crushes on the senior chicks.
Oh, yeah. And you hear, you know, the differences in the onset of puberty. You hear old Ian there.
Ian's like, oh, no, wrestling day.
Yeah, and some 14-year-olds sound like us.
Huh?
Just saying.
All right. Let's talk to Jack. Jack?
Oh, what's up?
You're 18.
Yeah.
You have sexual desires for your sister?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
All the time?
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
How old is your sister?
24.
And you mean just sort of fleeting sort of fantasies, or you actually have an intent?
No, just yeah, just fantasies, I guess, but I kind of wanted to stop because, you know, I like date a lot of other girls, but I don't have any sexual feelings for them, so I think it's my sister, my feelings for my sister that's keeping me from doing that.
A lot of other girls. Jack strike you as someone who dates a lot of other girls?
Possibly dead hookers that are, you know, propped up around a tea table in his apartment, but no, not actual breathing girls.
Calls them Mrs. Beasley?
Yeah. Jack.
What's up?
Are you living at home?
Yeah.
Well, here's the sort of way to differentiate.
Are you a virgin?
Yeah.
Shocking. You date lots of other girls.
Okay.
One other girl.
Do you really date lots of other girls?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have sex with any of them.
No. When it comes to other girls, I guess I'm just not as sexually attracted to them as other guys, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And your sister, have you ever masturbated to her?
Oh, yeah. I've done it for 3 or 4 years now.
All right.
And just to sort of square off how bad things are getting here, have you done anything with your sister ever?
No.
Has any family member, any other adult sort of been sexually inappropriate with you when you were a child?
No. I mean, I've been seeing a psychologist for my depression and things, and I've talked to her about it, and you know, she's been giving me some ideas, but you know, I just wanted to know what you guys are saying.
What are the ideas she's telling you? What are they?
She said, well, one would be to move out, to not see her. She said, you know, like, force yourself, you know, if you have to, you could wear a Band-Aid every time you think about it, you know, snap the Band-Aid on your wrist. You could do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Not a Band-Aid, you mean a rubber band.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Band-Aid.
That's all right.
And you have obsessive compulsive disorder? Is that what they think?
A little bit. Yeah, she diagnosed me with a little bit of that. Right.
Okay. Because I think that may be more what this is than a genuine intent to be sexually active with
your sister. Well, is your sister hot? I mean, just to be fair.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well, you know, I mean, you know, I'm not condoning it, but if your sister's, you know, easy on the eyes, it's a little different story.
Are you on any medication for the OCD?
Right, I am.
What are you taking?
Well, it's an antidepressant, Zoloft, but it it does help that a little bit.
Hold on, let me talk to Dr. Drew in private for a second. Jack is amazingly forthcoming.
No, this is OCD. Obsessive compulsive disorder, you have very intrusive thoughts that enter your mind and are very disturbing.
I just mean he's very willing to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But because, well, what do you mean, yeah, yeah? I mean, well, most guys who are having sexual desires toward their siblings would not just sit down and talk to the shrink about it.
I think it's because they're not real intent. They're just disturbing thoughts that float in from the outside. And sort of
Tourette's-y?
Yeah, these are compulsions. They're obsessions. That's what obsessive compulsive disorder, these weird obsessions come in. They're always uncomfortable. They're always sort of ashamed of them. Mm. But once they start talking about them, they're separate from any sort of interaction.
What about schizophrenia? He's 18.
Schizophrenia can have OCD qualities to it, but he's not describing any of those kinds of symptoms.
Jack?
What's up?
So do you feel a sense of shame about this?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
That you may need to talk to your doctor about a stronger medication. In fact, Prozac is a little better for OCD. Do you have other kind of rituals you do, that sort of thing?
Yeah, there are a few other things I'm working on, but they're not sexual things.
What are the rituals?
Like speedometer. I check my speedometer very often, you know.
Right. Your odometer. Your odometer or your speedometer?
Speedometer on my car.
What else you do?
Wait a minute, while you're driving?
Yes.
Do you flick light switches on and off, that sort of thing?
No, I just like to check my speed very often, that sort of thing.
Well, how about when you're not on the medication? Were there other more intense sorts of preoccupations?
No, I mean, I think it was just a mild OCD. It wasn't that severe, but my psychologist thinks that my sexual desires are rooting from my OCD.
All right. I agree with her.
Jack.
You do?
Yeah. I agree with your shrink when she says get out of your house.
Yep, I agree with that too.
And you sound like a smart guy, even though you're troubled. Can you get a job? Can you support yourself?
Yeah, yeah, I have a job. I mean, I'm going to school. I'm doing well at school and stuff. It's just when it comes to social with girls and stuff, you know, I'm having a little trouble.
Yeah, that's
all right.
OCD.
You're 18. Don't worry about it.
Talk to the doctor about a stronger serotonin reuptake inhibiting drugs. Prozac sometimes a little stronger than the medicine called Luvox. Might be helpful for you.
What 18-year-old doesn't have some difficulty with the lady, so, Drew?
I wouldn't know, because...
You did?
No, I had nothing but difficulty.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I mean. I mean, I think a lot of guys feel like, this is going to be it. This is a death sentence. Here's how I am with women at 18, and here I shall ever be this way.
But it's a slightly different thought process than that. It's just today is forever.
Yeah.
Period. Everyone experiences this moment is so intense
right.
that it doesn't matter about forever because this is forever.
And not everyone wants to have their own sister, but again, we can't judge, and I do believe if he does actually have intercourse with his sister that everything happens for a reason. You know, I just believe that. I just believe everything happens for a reason, even intercourse with own, you know, sibling. But guys need to work on not convincing chicks to be into them, but to having a more attractive lifestyle for the ladies, which isn't the one they think it is.
Like, what do you mean?
Drew has a big question mark over his head. Uh-huh. I think what a lot of guys do, 18, 19-year-olds, is they're like... Chicks like guys with big muscles, so I'm going to go to the gym, and I'm going to get on the juice, and I'm going to grease myself up, and I'm going to shave myself.
Right.
Chicks like dudes who drive, you know, candy apple red Corvettes, I'm going to get a piece of crap used one out of the recycler that's always going to break down. Chicks like. Before you know it, they become a caricature of men. They become Larry, Jack Tripper's a neighbor from Three's Company.
Right.
You know, medallions and open shirts and this kind of stuff. That repulses all smart chicks.
All chicks, I think. Women like
There's
guys.
A handful of sort of strippers that are into greased up guys.
Yeah, yeah. But you gotta actually be a sociopath then. You can't pretend to be a sociopath. You actually have to be
one. Yeah, like if you have the thong tan line and the shaved grease ass... That's just, you will attract a handful of porn stars, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
All right. So the point is if you want to get chicks and you're a guy, first off, look like, pretend like you're making an investment. You know, don't look short-term gain. Look long-term. Look into the future.
Mm-hmm.
Look down the road
Agreed.
5 years. Yeah. That means getting a good gig. That means having stuff you're into.
Into, that's what I mean.
Chicks like guys that are into stuff.
Women like men that are competent.
Yes.
Competency.
Yes.
And
you
with
can't
confidence.
Fake competency.
Competency and confidence and sort of in control of themselves and their lives.
Yeah, and they like guys that are into life in general,
into
actually.
Their own life.
And their own life, right. So you got to get good, whatever your school is, finish it up and go to work, make some money, not because women respond to the sports cars and the fancy restaurants, but that money is a symbol of a man's competence.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Drew?
Yes, sir. Yes. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
I've always said that. I don't think chicks really like money. Like the guy who's...
They like with the symbol of what it means.
Yeah, like the schlub who lives at home and then he wins the lottery. He doesn't get a lot of chicks. It's the guy who starts his own record label up.
Right.
And has a couple of businesses going in a clothing line.
Yeah.
They're totally into that.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes. I got to start a t-shirt company.
Let's do it.
Let's get it.
Wait, we're married.
That's right.
Oh, well, we got to get our wives to get interested
in us.
It'd
be awesome if we were gay. Kate?
Hi.
We would have a good life, wouldn't we?
Oh, my God.
Oh, if Adam and I were gay.
Oh. Drew out just bringing home the bacon, me frying it up in a pan.
No. It'd be me working. I would do more. I'd have more time for community service.
Oh, yeah.
We'd be
philanthropic. Oh, you'd be traveling the world healing the lepers.
You'd be at home just repairing the house.
Just working on the house.
Just working constantly.
Yeah.
Just designing and refurbishing.
Building. Oh, and if we were gay, we would have great taste. You know, so we'd have very smart, upscale, modern dwellings.
We'd collect art.
We'd have art. And you know what? We'd have the huevos to buy art because the straight guys were scared to buy art.
We wouldn't have any kids.
We're gay, but yeah. Oh, you spent $50,000 on Mother Teresa dunked in urine. Fantastic investment, Drew.
What are you talking about? It's 1 year college for one of my kids.
I'm giving you a reach around tonight. Nice work, buddy.
That's cute.
That's right. Awesome. And we'd like to have separate bedrooms. We'd do our own thing.
We'd have to have concubines and things. I mean,
I'm bringing home lovers.
It'd be you and me.
I've taken another lover, Drew.
I'm just saying.
It'd
be you and me. You know what I'm talking about?
It
wouldn't be two random gay guys. It'd be you and me.
I knew. I had a gay friend. This guy had state-of-the-art house. You know, kids will F up whatever you try to do nice. You know, you get hardwood floors and modern this and that. Beautiful. I used to build the guy furniture. I built his boyfriend a bed and I built him a bed. Mm-hmm. They had their own bedrooms.
Nice.
They would take separate vacations.
Of course.
They had their own life.
Of course.
Once in a while, they meet in the hall for a little BJ and then it's back to your own room.
Oh, Nirvana.
Awesome. Guy's dead now.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Sad. Good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, all right.
Take a break.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's kind of a bummer, though. We wouldn't die if we were gay. Yeah.
Well, not unless one of us screwed up and got HIV with all that sex, all those extra guys.
I wouldn't, I would watch. I'd watch and diddle myself. I don't get into it with the young guys. That's my thing. I'm a watcher.
Would we have sex with women, too?
Fair. We're gay, remember? Okay.
It's hard to kind of remember.
Let's go, buddy. Let's go. Right. Come on. The gay train is leaving. We need you on board. We need you in the caboose. We will take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Kate. Bi-curious. Speaking of the devil. Wants to have a threesome with best friend. Tell boyfriend. Hold on 1 second. Kate?
Hello.
Hello. 19?
Yes.
Bi-curious?
Yes.
You have a boyfriend?
Yes, I have a boyfriend.
How long have you two been together?
We've been together for like a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And what my question is really is, like, is it always bad, like, is it always a bad thing for somebody to want to have a threesome?
All right, hold on.
Okay. Hey, Drew. You know what? That's one of the rare moments we actually had a decent radio impulse simultaneously.
Never happened before.
No, it's usually Drew has a decent radio impulse by going, okay, we'll go to break, we'll get to this one, we'll come back to a little back sound, and me going, wait a minute, I'll tell you what.
Right.
Or vice versa. Right. Drew just powering through something and me not listening.
Well, here's it. Yeah, right.
That was awesome.
Anyway, how dare you suggest that? I've got something to say.
We are a gay simpatico now,
yeah,
Drew.
Yeah, you know, we were lost in that fantasy.
We really,
really
were.
It's heartbreaking to think that's not going to happen.
Hey, Drew, easy on the eyes.
You know, let's do it.
I'm working on the house.
We can sit our wives down and just have a little conversation with them.
Look, They're modern women.
They're modern women.
All right. Let's take a break.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. We'll be right back with Kate and her blossoming bisexuality. after that. Yeah. Hey, everybody. You know, Eminem. Drew swung by the vending machine.
Yep.
By Curious Kate. Kate?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Hi.
Hey.
Hello.
Yeah, you're 19. You sound hot.
Oh, thank you.
Are you?
I've gotten a lot of compliments so far about it. Yeah.
So far.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you look like?
I'm 5'11", and I'm like 140 pounds, blonde hair. Mm-hmm. I'm white. I do a lot of yoga, so.
Oh, really?
That way, yeah.
Sorry, hot. Kate, what's the question?
Well, I'm curious about this, like, I'm with my boyfriend, and we both want to have a threesome. Like, we've actually had one before, but I'm curious, like, does it always...
How did the one go before?
Well, it was all right, but it's hard to find a girl that's attractive and everything that's into it.
You didn't have any weird feelings about seeing your boyfriend with another girl?
No, I didn't. Like, I didn't feel jealous or anything.
Did he have intercourse with her?
Yeah.
And what were you doing during that point?
Just kind of like, not facilitating it, but I was in different positions and everything. I went down on her, and that was not at all pleasant for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, what makes you want to be...
Why would you do it again?
Yeah.
Well, I think, thinking about it, it's kind of a sexy thing.
Yeah,
but
thinking
about
it.
My boyfriend is more interested in... Like, he's interested in it.
He's pushing this one
thing.
Along.
This is his deal. Oh,
oh.
Boy, Kate.
You're
I just get the sense Kate was exploited growing up. Just, like, completely, you know, so sort of like somebody's women beck and call, like a slave or something.
Well, so she's not really bi-curious. She tried going down on a chick because and wasn't really that into
she
it.
She tried to do it to make her boyfriend happy. It really is what it boils down to.
Yeah, and he dug it, and she didn't, and now she's going, well, maybe I should try it again.
Just because, for the same
reason she did in the first
place. Boyfriend
is pushing it along.
Yeah.
It's an awesome gig. Like, if your boyfriend, and especially if you got a chick that ain't actually bisexual, like, you don't have to worry about her taking off. Like, look, how about another threesome? Which basically means... you get to watch me hump this chick, and then at a certain point, you hold your nose and go down on her for 10 minutes while I beat off.
She doesn't have to do that, even.
Mm.
He just has his way with both of them.
Oh, really? Son of a bitch. I'm angry at this guy now.
Wait, Adam.
What's your boyfriend do? Is he a bartender?
Oh, no. But check this out. No, I was very interested. I'm attracted to girls, and I was attracted to girls before I met my boyfriend. And I like the whole thing. I like the upper body, but the lower body is not so hot to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but what I'm really curious about is, like, we're the kind of people, like, we do lots of yoga and, like, all sorts of things. Like, we're vegan.
Of course. Hey, what happened to you growing up? I mean, something awful.
Here's my Kate take. Drew, you give me your Kate take. My Kate take is... I didn't get sexual abuse, physical abuse, domineering, whatever. I got sort of hippie, lovey.
I got nothing. Yeah, I got zero. Got nothing.
No, I'll tell you what I got even. I got this weird sort of European, Nordic-y kind of like those European families that walk around in the nude and keep reiterating to their kid your sexuality is nothing you should be ashamed of. You should never be ashamed of your sexuality.
That's kind of thing. That's not enough.
Really?
Yeah, not at 19.
All right, but
this is more like heroin addicted parents or something.
Kate?
Yes.
Let's talk about your parents.
Okay.
What's their deal?
Oh, my parents. I don't get along with them. While I was growing up, I got along with them really well. My mom's a nurse, but they're like they've got problems, but they're not.
What are the problems?
Well, my mom grew up in like her mom had four different husbands, and my mom had to take care of her brothers and sisters. There were like six kids, and she had to take care of them and all that.
Oh, now she's
like
a
hardworking woman, like totally strict, totally mean. Like I'm trying to go to school, like go to university and everything, and they don't support me at all.
And your dad is
he's the alcoholic.
Another one of those schlubs, like your mom, like her mom.
No, actually, my dad came from a lot of money, but when he met my mom, like, I don't know, he decided he didn't want to have the wealthy life or whatever.
But my dad, he's not educated, and he's like he lays tile and stuff like that.
And well, what about all this money?
Oh, yeah. From his side, they have a lot of money. They're all doctors and everything. But he did a lot of drugs, and he was kind of like a hippie guy and stuff.
Okay, there you go. That's what I got. Yeah. That's the part I got, the drug addiction.
Right, I got the hippie
but
part.
They do not at all treat me all hippie or anything like that, even though I could be considered that kind of thing. I don't get it from them. I don't get along with them any longer.
Right. Actually, when they study this, the actual hippie parents are more likely to have punk children.
Oh, I see.
That's sort of how that works out. This
so
is
no
the
abuse.
Strict parents tend to have the hippie.
Like,
hippie
the only kids. Abuse I remember is when I was really young, my parents sent me to a babysitter, and I remember something happening, like, with the husband. And I can't remember exactly what, but it's like I have this feeling that there was some kind of sexual abuse there.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
All right. Well, listen, baby doll.
This is not a healthy description of a childhood, right? My dad's a loser, a drug addict. Who couldn't function.
No longer. I mean, that was, you know, in the...
When you were in your formative years, when you was important to you.
Important part. Now it doesn't matter.
Yeah, he was a drug addict. My mother was an overbearing codependent, pain in the ass, and I was sexually abused.
Yeah, and you...
That's not a good story.
You, by the way, you know, being into chicks, being into the upper half of chicks is like saying, I'm really into burgers, but not the meat part. Actually, I have to slide that out. Just some bun and lettuce. You ain't that into it.
Yeah.
I am.
No, you have no boundaries.
Right.
You're all over the place. Your boyfriend's manipulating you, and he finds you to be a putty.
And he's got
to
be a drug addict too. He's got to be an alcoholic.
We don't trust him.
No. He's not alcoholic at all. But his father was.
Right. So he's got
What's
the gene.
He do?
He's got to have the gene too.
You would be
attracted to him if he didn't have that gene. That your dad had the gene.
He's not like that at all. He doesn't do any drugs or anything.
What does he sell for a living?
What does he do for a living?
Yes.
Well, he just graduated. He was a graduate student. And now he's writing and he's teaching, like, Buddhist religion.
I love
this. No. Not, I mean, like, writing books and things like this.
Yeah, I know.
Didn't do a bunch of drugs at one time, Kate?
No.
Exactly. He's one of these spiritual guys who's here's a spiritual quest. My joint needs to find a vagina. That's the quest. All these guys are sitting there talking
about
in a lotus position day long.
He's kind of like a cult leader.
Yeah, smelling of patchouli oil, talking about discipline and chi and just trying to bang every co-ed who comes through his class. Guys are so full of crap.
I know.
It's like all these... Drew and I always talk about these spiritual leaders, these guys who start these cults and all this. What is it? It's white guys in their 40s who are trying to bang 15-year-olds.
Right.
It all gets down to... Any chick... Cult leaders?
No. Never.
No chick cult leaders.
And always the cult leader has special, you know, special ceremonial relations with the daughters of some of the women. Always.
It always starts off as getting closer to God and joining together in group singing, and eventually just deteriorates into, bring me your 13-year-old, honey. I got a banger while you watch.
Yeah.
That's every cult leader.
Yep.
It's all the same distance.
Everyone. Why people don't know
they
that.
They never get into it either. You know, they talk, but they sort of brush over it. Oh, he believed he was the incarnate of Jesus Christ. He believed he had power. He believed. And
some people accuse him of everything.
He had sex with my four daughters. Yeah. They were at 9.
Yeah. When you deconstruct, when people get out of cults, they always have those kinds of stories.
Find me someone who was in a cult. Find me a young woman who was in a cult and get nailed by old guys.
By the leader.
Yes, it's just a sex farm, Drew.
Yes.
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
And the cult is just a ruse to get young chicks in there, brainwash them, and nail them. And you just find the ones that were sexually abused, and they're out on the street, and they're running away from a stepdad who was feeling them up 20 minutes ago. Yeah, bring them on in. Oh, my child, come on in. Yep, start sucking. Idiots. That's why these guys need a bullet in their head, by the way. It's not, forget about the religious stuff, and everyone gets stuck into this sort of moral implications of their religion and all this stuff. No, these guys are always pedophiles. Those end up nailing
young
chicks.
They may not be pedophiles, but they're certainly manipulative, abusive.
They all end up in, like, orgies, and then the head guy gets to bang the most chicks.
Not always with young chicks.
Almost all the time, they have to start offering your daughters.
Yeah, but the offers can be older sometimes. It's not always pedophilia. It's always inappropriate.
It always is. It's always.
Now, Kate's boyfriend is sort of a light version of that.
What do you think? These 55-year-old nimtards are waiting until the chick's 18th birthday to do them? They'll take them at 15.
Yeah, they will. But they're only attracted to adults.
It's their rule.
Adults,
it's their cult. It's their land.
Yeah, yeah. Once they can't wait. But Kate's boyfriend is like a light version of that. He's a mini version. He could convert into that at 40.
Oh, he's a Lenny Kravitz version of that. He's like Sting and Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah.
Like Lenny Kravitz, he's talking about peace and love and peace, and take your panties off, bitch. I gotta F you. But peace. I mean love. I mean it's beautiful, man. It's so beautiful. Take you too, your friend. Lose panties. Yeah, because I'm into love and I'm into peace, and I believe there's a spirit, and start sucking. Yeah, because I believe I can see your aura, you know? Yeah, but turn around. I want to see from behind. Yeah, right. Bend over. Yeah, that's all these guys are. It's just it's a great rap to nail people, and you chicks are stupid, and you fall for it.
The guys may believe it themselves. I think they believe it sometimes.
Well, that just makes them sociopaths.
Right, right.
They get a bunch of crapple tribal tats. This one's spirit, man, because I believe that, you know, they're in reincarnation, and they're into the earth, they're into this. It's all one big funnel that just leads to your crotch, ladies. That's all it is. It's all their earth BS and all their patchouli BS and all their spirituality and their aura and all that. All they do is get laid.
And by the way, they're not interested in just one vagina.
Hell no. No, that's why when they get married, and then it's like, I finally found my partner, man. I believe we're together in another lifetime. Right. 10 minutes later, on top of some stewardess.
And not only that, she understands. That's why she's my partner. She understands who I am.
I like the guy. You know, look, Mazel Tov is half of Drew's people say to these guys. They just go around banging chicks. It's you chicks that are stupid letting these idiots get into you because he has a tribal tattoo and a piercing, and he's into peace and love and plays the lute. Idiots. All right, Drew, you're all sicking me.
Take a break.
Let's take a break.
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll speak to Monique.
Oh, and I want everybody to fire up their televisions, too. Discovery Health Channel at midnight tonight. I need the love.
19 and a half minutes.
And please go ahead and feel free to write the letters to discoveryhealth.com. Little emails help me out.
Wants sex more than her boyfriend. How to get him to dominate. All that. Monique is a hot name, by the way. You never saw any fat Moniques.
Remember Monique from that TV show?
Oh.
Yeah.
Soul Sister Monique?
Yeah.
Touche. Touche.
But I'm real fat.
There she is.
That's Anderson's genius. It's like Rain Man with that computer. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Let's speak to Monique. Offspring in here tomorrow night. Monique?
Yes?
21?
I'll be 21 in 14 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Your birthday.
Yeah. You know what else is going to be on in 14
you
minutes?
Celebrate by turning on my show in 14 minutes. Discovery Health Channel.
Yeah. Also, I'm going to be on Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight in about 44 minutes or something. So
you can TiVo
that.
Do
the math. Yeah, Drew, we're going to be on TV together, buddy. Ooh,
which I guess we will be regularly.
Is your show an hour?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot of Drew.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's see if you can tolerate that.
I thought you were going to say like 15 minutes or something. I was just kidding when I said an hour.
I'm just saying. Listen.
You sure that hour isn't four shows?
I want you to think about what it's going to be like when we're living together. You can't tolerate an hour with me. And you want to have a life together? You want to be my partner? My life partner?
That'd be awesome. Sitting around watching Blowout on Bravo. Oh, going at each other.
Oh.
Still like newlyweds after all these years.
And then all the extra marital stuff we could have.
Awesome. Monique?
Yes.
Yeah, so you want to have sex with your boyfriend, and he's not that horny.
No, but first things first, my name is beautiful, thank you very much, but I'm 5'2", and I only weigh 106 pounds. I am very beautiful. I'm nothing like Monique on TV.
All right, thanks for straightening
that out.
Thanks
for that clarity.
Yeah.
Good. I'll be able to masturbate again.
And what is it your boyfriend wants to do as opposed to what you would like to do?
Well, anything. He never takes control. He never starts anything. He never goes down. I have to start everything. I have to do everything. And I have to be in control all the time.
How often are you guys having sex?
Right now, about every 3 days.
That's a pretty good clip.
Yeah. Something is troubling me about your voice.
You're angry, and that bothers Adam.
Maybe a little meth in there or something, a little white trash thing floating around. What's going on?
White, What?
What's going on with the phone line, by the way?
I think that's us.
Is that us?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hear that noise over there? Oh, okay. Monique, what do you do for a living?
Actually, I don't work. I am disabled, and I collect checks from the state.
What's your nature of your disability?
I mentally cannot hold a job. I am crazy in the head, to put it simple.
What's your diagnosis?
I had a lot of problems. I'm bipolar, antidepressant, manic depressant, HDAD, and schizophrenic. I'm pretty much, you name it, I'm it.
Hold on, Drew. What is that? I always call it pressured, but it's something else that...
constriction.
It's a constriction. It's that voice.
Affective constriction. It's like holding back anger and rage and stuff.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, yeah. They're trying to manage overwhelming feelings all the time. And by the way, when somebody says to me, it's not possible to have a multiplicity, I mean, dozens and dozens of psychiatric diagnoses any more than it is possible to have dozens and dozens of medical diagnoses. You know, you can have a few.
Right.
But then you're dead. You know what I mean?
Right.
It just doesn't, you can't get accumulate lots of them. But when somebody says something like that, I just hear drug addict.
Well, that's what I heard.
Yeah.
But what's up, Monique?
Well, for example, last night, I was ready, willing, I did my part.
No. What about the drug addict?
I don't care about the sex
part. What about the drug part? Oh, no, I'm not a drug addict. I was at one time, but
see
not
what I'm saying?
Time.
What was your drug of choice?
Meth. Yeah.
Didn't I,
On the 14th of this month, it will be 1 year sober.
All right, but hold on a second. Remember I said I heard meth head?
First thing. And then I say I heard addiction, too, on the heels of that?
Yes.
And what did she say? No. No.
No. I hear meth. Meth sounds like... It's not you being high on meth now.
Right.
It's what people that are into meth and have heavily been into meth sound like.
Yeah, heavily.
And it's that sort of sun-blasted kind of white trashy... you're 21. First, you're 21. Really? That's it? That's it? No more work? No more life? And by the way, you can... you can be obsessed with effing your boyfriend, but you can't hold down a secretarial gig.
And all those diagnoses she got was when she came to the hospital with amphetamine psychosis and didn't tell anybody that she was
Monique,
doing amphetamine.
You need to get a job.
I
know
like
it's.
To.
I think you can. What's wrong? Do you know what I mean? Is that it? Is that going to be it for your life?
At 21?
Well, let's go then. Let's get going. Let's get up in the morning. Let's do some exercise. Let's go, baby. Let's get it on. Stop worrying about how much you F your boyfriend.
You're having sex 3 times a week.
That's plenty.
It is. And sexual addictions often follow on the heels of chemical addictions, especially when you have a very traumatic past.
And you and your boyfriend, that is the least of your worries, baby.
Talk to your sponsor about this preoccupation.
Do you have a sponsor?
No, I don't.
All right, so you're not sober. You just haven't used drugs in a while.
Yeah.
But aren't you on pain medication or something?
No, I'm on medication for being bipolar.
But aren't you on Klonopin or Ativan or something like that?
Oh, no.
No.
All right. Monique.
Are you drinking?
Yeah.
There we go.
All right.
So you got to replace that speed with something.
What do you get? How much money do you get from the government every month?
$600.
And that's the way you're going to live your life?
For right now, yeah.
Well, why don't you put down the booze and start getting it together and get a gig?
No, how dare you?
I know.
Listen,
Monique, I'm sorry you were abused. I'm sorry you got into meth. But now you become everyone's problem. Let's go. All right.
The sex thing will say if you actually go get a sponsor, go to
NA. Who cares about the
sex? I'm just saying the sex thing, the issues around that will settle down if you actually got into sobriety. You haven't been sober, Monique. You've been not using speed for a while and drinking instead.
And look, here's what happens. These people get abused and they get strung out on drugs. And the next thing you know, they have some sort of diagnoses.
Right.
And then next thing you know, they're on disability for the rest of their life.
Right. Workers' comp.
Yeah. And you're not doing them any favors.
Right.
By the way, this pittance you give them a month, just enough for them to buy some Schaefer beer and go back to the crappy trailer and get a little buzz.
It's enough to keep them dependent on the state.
Yes, I know. Rob?
Yes.
Your girlfriend of 2 years sleeps around with his friends.
Four to be exact, yes.
Four?
Why is she still your girlfriend?
You tell me. I really do not know.
I'll tell you. She's not.
Yeah.
Well, she is. I'm just far too emotionally attached.
I agree with that. Yes, he is.
Yeah, you're depressed and you have low self-esteem. You need to break it off.
Yeah, it may be already broken off as far as she's concerned.
It is.
No, actually, it's not, to tell you the truth. It's going strong. It has its ups and downs. And
no, someone ought to write a song with you two.
What?
Yeah. You ought to write a song about your love,
yes,
you two.
Fabulous.
I'll write a song about you, Adam, but that's about it.
Uh-oh.
Well, what a snappy comeback, by the way.
No, it's,
that was a good one.
It's a mess.
All right, it's a mess, Rob. And your problem is you become weaker and weaker with each one of her little extra
right. You can't imagine
affairs.
Being with anybody else. This is it for you as the love of your life.
You're a mess.
You don't know how to end it. You would, you know, when you're 28, you'll end a relationship like this in 3 minutes.
Pow. Yeah. No, break it off. Get some huevos and get some self-esteem.
You may need some treatment. You really do. Your depression sounds significant, and your esteem is in the toilet.
Can't judge, though, Drew.
No, cannot.
And remember, even though she effed four of your friends, I believe everything happens for a reason, okay?
Yeah.
So there's a reason why she was on top of and then underneath.
Taking that crap from his friends, too.
And in front
really?
Of
really? Your
occasion.
Friends? Your friends?
Yeah, something's going on.
Oof.
All right, baby. Come on now. Everyone, get up early, listen to classical music, start doing some goddamn exercise.
And turn on Discovery Health Channel in 4 minutes.
That's right. And then you turn on Jimmy Kimmel in 37 minutes. Right.
Well, just leave it on Discovery Health Channel. It'll be good. Please.
All right. Oh, yeah.
Love.
Yeah, no, yeah. Go ahead and watch Drew.
Right.
He needs your charity. We'll take a
break.
You
might learn something, too. Actually, the show liked it. She learned a couple things. Yeah.
Screw you, Drew.
Even Michelle.
We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. So I've been dead for 28 years.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ. What's wrong with everyone, Drew? All right.
All right.
That's the show. Hey, The Offspring, tomorrow night, everybody. Our old favorites, The Offspring, in studio. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.